Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Cassie Quinton, a professional copywriter who brings a unique perspective from her background as a former police investigating officer for major crimes and a previous coroner's officer. Her book, Humanity 2.0, is an essential guide to understanding our future, taking you on a fascinating exploration through conversations with AI systems, insights from evolutionary biology, and wisdom from today's former most AI thinkers. Whether you're a tech enthusiast or technology cautious, this book offers an essential perspective on navigating our rapidly changing world. Welcome to the show, Cassie.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for joining us. So tell us a little bit more about your background and how and why you came to write this book.
Quite a remarkable story, really. I decided to swap my career later in life and become a copywriter. Writing was something I'd always enjoyed, but my background was in legal writing for criminal cases for court, and also as a coroner's officer for coroner's court. And while I was studying to qualify as a copywriter, quite a complicated field, actually, copywriting, I definitely bit off a lot more than I can chew at the time. I was studying Ogilvy, David Ogilvy, who is considered by many the godfather of advertising. And one evening, after many weeks of studying him, he said that he wrote his best copy for his best ads, which made the most money for his clients, was after a glass of rum, a beverage I'd never tried. So I bought a bottle. I had it at home that night when I was studying some work, and I poured myself a glass late at night. I had literally just started launching into the study of AI, and I decided to take a little break, and I sat down late one night with this glass of coconut rum, mine was, and as I stared at the screen, an AI was flashing in the corner, and I have no idea why, but I punched in, "Would you like a glass of rum?" And the AI told me it wasn't a physical entity and it couldn't drink. And I said, the reason I'm drinking rum is because of David Ogilvy. So this particular AI then came back with, oh, so you're studying marketing and he's a great marketer. And it started telling me all about David Ogilvy. And that literally was how the book that now sits on Amazon, and I'm delighted to say it's number one this week,
came about from that conversation. That's fantastic.
Thank you very much indeed. I'm utterly shocked and, of course, delighted. But that book that is there right now that so many people are showing such great interest in, which I'm grateful for, came about from that night when I looked at that AI and started engaging about something very simple. It was just the answers were remarkable.
Wow. So what was your opinion on AI before this evening and this conversation, and how much did it change that evening and through the research for putting this book together?
Oh, it changed remarkably. Before that evening, I had very, very little knowledge of AI. I'm not a scientist. I wasn't sure exactly what to expect. I was kind of listening, I suppose, like many people, as to what it is, what it can do. Perhaps a little bit of fear, definitely intimidation. I mean, the book you see, I've been studying and working on the research for this for about the last 18 months, I would say. So when I started this, AI in the last year, 18 months, has come on enormously fast. So at the time, I started delving into one AI, and then I became curious as to if I asked the same questions to a second AI, would I get the same answers? And what started off as just a little break from copywriting exams literally turned into almost a year with six chosen AIs. And it was almost as if it was just me and them. Every day for 4 to 6 hours, I engaged with these six AIs, asking the most ordinary questions to the most profound questions, as if I was talking to a friend on the sofa over a coffee, or in a pub with a friend of a beer, or in a coffee shop over a coffee. I decided to ask questions and engage so that I could learn and become more knowledgeable, as if I was talking to an ordinary friend.
Gosh, amazing. So for people who don't get AI still and don't understand the benefits and think, well, why would you want to sit at home engaging with AI and a computer? That doesn't really make sense. How would you explain it to them or even convince them that it's a worthwhile tool?
Well, I think that's very important what you just said there. I mean, it is a tool. It is nothing more than a tool, and it should be seen as that, really. I mean, Ethan Mollick, who's written a brilliant book called Co-Intelligence, Living and Working with AI, he actually specifically says use it as a tool and see it as an assistant, as a teacher, as a mentor. So, for example, I use it now for research, whereas before I could spend a great deal of time researching papers, books, looking up this information, finding where it is, and then typing it myself. I can now go to a particular AI and I can punch in my questions and check that research in a fraction of the time. So I think that's what's important. I think it's very important to be knowledgeable as well. I mean, this is my North Star for writing this book when I decided to write it. It started off just making notes, really, as a little bit of fun for my own knowledge, thinking, wow, can it do this? Can it do this? This is so helpful for my exams, really. But my North Star then became really, what can it offer and how can I write it in a way that's simple? And the concepts, sometimes I read concepts that were very complex, and I spent a great deal of time like drilling them down and drilling them down, so that, I mean, sometimes I could spend 2 weeks on a concept, and in the book that's only one paragraph written very simply. So I would say, I had a conversation only yesterday with a gentleman, actually, that was with a friend of mine, and he mentioned the book because my friend had bought it and started reading it, so he was asking questions. And he said, I'm afraid of it and I don't want it. And I said, well, unfortunately, I don't think you have a choice. It's here to stay. And it's in everything we do right now, everywhere. It's everywhere. So you can't run away. So really become informed and learn about it. I don't think you have anything to fear. If you learn, it's like anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. There are lots of people who are afraid of it. You know, there's a lot to be concerned about in terms of it taking jobs away from humans in so many different aspects of life and business. So the more people understand about it and understand how it works and how they could possibly use it in their life or in their business, the better. I mean, that makes a lot more sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I qualified now as a copywriter and I'm a case study specialist. So I understand the principles of copywriting, and there's a lot of science and psychology and behavior economics that goes into a good copywriter writing good copy for his or her clients. But now I use AI, and I can use it for ideation. I can ask it for ideas on something, and I go to different ones depending on what I want. I've learned which ones give me the results in certain areas, so I will go to those. And then I can also say, this is something that I've written for a client. Have I missed anything? I'm looking for these principles. And it may say, oh, actually, what about this one? Perhaps you need to elongate that one or go more detail, depending on the niche market of the client. So I use it actually very much like a PA or a VA, and it absolutely cuts down my time enormously on my written work now, but it doesn't take away from my skill as a copywriter.
Yeah, it's amazing. Once you start using it to that kind of ability, when you come across people that say, oh, no, I don't get it, I don't want to use it in my business, it must be quite easy for you to not just convince them, but explain why it's such a great tool. And if people aren't using it, then they're really missing out.
Well, actually, it's interesting as well. That's another good point you make. I have several clients now. I make a living by writing, and I have one particular client who's very much against AI. She doesn't want it used. She's not keen, and she doesn't really want lots of engagement about it, which is her choice, and I respect that. And no matter how many times I try to say, well, maybe it could help your business, or we could use it for this or that, she's not quite there yet, and that's fine. That's okay. I have another client who is so fascinated by it that often our conversations, instead of marketing strategies and copy for her business, the conversation often goes to, what more can we do with AI? I recently built her a bot for her business at her request, and the speed at which I can now deliver brand voice specialized copy for her is extraordinary. I could deliver the same handwritten, but nowhere near the speed that her bot can now deliver for her. But you do need to check it. There is something I would say here, Hannah, that it does still hallucinate, is the term. It does still make mistakes. It will only give the information, depending on which one you have, where its data point sets up to. So you could be dealing with an AI that has a memory cap of X date, month or year. So you do need to be mindful of that and check all of your, I mean, as a professional, I would do that as standard anyway.
So how do you know when someone has given you some writing, whether it's copy, whether it's a novel? You know, I've interviewed authors who are writing books with AI now, or if someone's written an article. How do you know whether it's written by a human or whether it's completely written by AI and a human hasn't been involved at all?
It's a good question. This is another topic that people often discuss with me. Well, you might become aware, maybe the listeners are also aware, that AI has a particular, what we refer to as an accent. So it often regurgitates the same words for certain meanings all the time. And in fact, the other day I was smiling to myself because I was writing copy for a client and I wanted to use the word unlock. And the word unlock is a word that is very frequently used with AI. So I tend to avoid it unless the client asks for it, or there's no other word that would fit that particular copy. And I do think sometimes it gives you, I mean, there are certain words that it uses, unlock is one, elevate is another, that it will use all the time. And it often goes to patterns. So you'll see the same. I remember, I work a lot in the US and published in the US. And I remember one conversation once with a business owner who said that she had sent out for a job application for a company. And she was utterly thrilled when I think 47 applicants applied. And the first application was just terrific, she said. And she was quite thrilled and then began to read the rest. And every single one of them was the same because they'd all been done on AI with no human. You could tell there was nothing about the human in there. So I think it is difficult, and I think that will get a little bit more tricky maybe for some people. So I think it's about people being cautious, asking the right questions, just being sensible and mindful, really.
Yeah. And if you use it to write something, I guess you should use it to edit afterwards. You know, you shouldn't rely on it. If you ask it to write something or give you some ideas for a business proposal or whatever, you have to make sure that you read it before sending it, and you can edit it or tweak it however you want to.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I know copywriters who use it to edit. I edit my own mostly, but I might sometimes say, if I have a piece of bland copy with information taken out, I might say, are there any redundant terms here? And it might say, you've repeated this sentence twice, or this word is redundant. So then I work with synonyms and antonyms. So then I will change that. But again, I think when you're working with a copywriter, you're working with someone, hopefully you've invested a great deal of time and money, I have to say as well, and energy into delivering exceptional copy, the best they're capable of, for business clients. So you should be in safe hands. I think the worry would be when you are paying someone for a writing service and that individual perhaps is solely using AI, because you cannot depend completely on machines, because they make mistakes, and we still do not know really where we're going in the future with these machines. So use them absolutely if you want. I have business friends who asks me, you know, I'm going to use AI, what prompts should I put in? And I might guide them. I think one of the most important things, as Ethan Mollick says, is be very clear. Understand you're working with a machine, not a human. So they don't draw upon experiences beforehand. So make it very clear what you want from them and who you are. So for example, you could tell the AI you choose to work with, you are a copywriter and I am looking for a promotion for a book or a sales letter or a post, and I want you to write so many words, and I need it to have this compelling story, for example. Be clear what you ask it to do, and I would also suggest that you break it down into very small chunks. AIs don't generally work as effective as they can if you give them too much information, perhaps like a human, too much information, and it's confusing. So ask them in stages, a little bit at a time.
And do you not worry as a copywriter that AI could take over as more and more businesses and companies start to realise how good it is? Is there not a concern that they could start saying to you, well, thank you for your services over the years, you've been great, but I'm just going to use AI now?
Absolutely. And I think that's very topical. And I agree. I think that's a concern for many. I mean, I have mentors in the US A-level, A-list copywriters, and it does come up in our training sessions sometimes. But I have to say, I've never been busier. I could work 7 days a week for months on end, and I have clients and work. I'm very fortunate. But I do think, again, it's down to the human in the loop and having someone who's trained in the principles, in proven principles for effective copy. I mean, I write for companies and businesses, and if my copy sounds good but doesn't work, then I'm no good as a copywriter. As a copywriter, the difference in perhaps a journalist, another form of writer, is that everything I write has to drive the reader towards an action, whatever that action is the client needs for their business. So you have to write compelling and persuasive copy, and you have to write it in the right order. I mean, as a copywriter, you don't simply write and inform, you actually construct the copy. So you put certain things in certain places to engage the reader, to not lose the reader, to make it valuable and informative, and to explain the products and the services well. I mean, that's not a simple, easy task to do. So I think relying solely on a machine when you're unfamiliar, perhaps yourself, with the principles that are effective and scientifically proven to work would be perhaps a little dangerous for you to do solely that. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I think I work for another American company, and they are the same. They are wanting writers everywhere because there's more and more life online now, more and more work online. People work more online than anywhere else. And the ability, I've learned something. I mean, I've always had an interest in writing. It started in legal writing. And I have to tell you as well, Hannah, I worked so hard to learn how to write legally. I'm not naturally a bright person. I was always the first one into college and the last one out, so much so that I knew the cleaning ladies and the librarians better than anyone else in college. Because I had to stay longer than anyone else to get the information and to cut the mustard. But I think with writing, it's very important, really, that you really, if you can, if you want your business to be successful, and most of my writing is for business people, then you don't have a lot of time nowadays to cut through the noise online. The attention span is much less than it was. I mean, 5.3 seconds when someone's on your website. People don't have time to read, and they don't want you to waste their time, and they don't want to waste their energy. So if you're going to get your business ahead of your competitors, then you really need to think about every word on that copy needs to earn its place there. I mean, I can spend 3 or 4 days deliberating over one sentence in a piece of copy, deciding, is it effective? Will it work? Does it add anything? If not, it comes out. I cull. I mean, I write carefully, but I edit mercilessly.
Mm. And what about Google? Has AI kind of taken over Google for you? I know lots of people that don't use search engines anymore, and they literally just go to AI to ask questions.
Yes, I actually, that's another interesting question. A lot of people I know still use Google because I think people, they like familiarity and comfort. And most people are now trusting and happy and comfortable on Google. And that's where they like to be normal. But I think more people who are curiously minded like myself or in an industry in a field where we do really need to understand AI, then they will go to AIs. I mean, one of the best AIs to check details and facts is an AI called Perplexity.ai. So I often will use Perplexity to check facts, but you now also have Gemini, which is Google's AI, and that's very good as well. And then you have many others. When I started, there was a few, but then it's grown. Something else of interesting, Hannah, when I started with one and I ended up with six, I'm not quite sure how six, I think six was about the limit I could manage at the time. I decided to spend the next year or so only with those six AIs and not bring in more or swap them out. It was like a study, really, that I had with, you know, when a psychologist does a study with a family or a person or a group of people and you stay with them. And I did notice the rapid speed at which it was learning patterns. It was learning me. It was improving. It was quite remarkable watching these six AIs over a period of time and the speed at which they were learning and growing. It was just remarkable. Their sophistication was remarkable.
Yeah, fantastic. It's so interesting. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, it's got all the information there. It's called Humanity 2.0, Redefining Humanity in the Age of Artificial Intelligence. I could talk to you for hours about it, but we're going to have to stop there. The book is available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Kazi Quinton, who we've been chatting with today. Kazi, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.